Today's Bible reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34, and it's on page 960 in the Bibles in your pews. Do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Jimmy. I was an intern here at St. Paul's. I'm not yet a student minister, so I'm not sure what I am at the moment, but I am preaching to you guys this morning, and it's a great honour and privilege to do so. So have it, we pray before we begin. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we can meet here. Thank you so much that we can sit under your word now and be taught by you. Thank you so much that we can become more like you. And we pray, Father, today, we'll pray, Lord Jesus, that we can be changed because of what we hear today. We pray this in your name. Amen. Now, I love Q&A. Has anyone watched the TV show Q&A? Yep, hand up, yep. You're all patriots. Congratulations. Me and one of my best mates, Maddie Swan, like to make a night of it. You see, we call it the Patriotic Night of ABC television. You know, just ask Peter and Helen, who are over there, his parents. We start with a 7:30 report. We finish with the business, with Tiki Fullerton. Often skipping Australian story, you can only handle so many farming stories in a week. And the highlight always being Q&A. It's fun to watch, sometimes quite frustrating, as you probably agree, and sometimes super interesting. But every time I watch the show, I'm sure you agree with me, I can't help but feel really worried about our future. The panelists always seem so negative about our government, so negative about our economic outlook, and it never seems to really solve any of our worries except remind me and remind us of them. However, most of us here don't have the time to worry about Australia's economic outlook or the government because we have more immediate worries in front of us. Things like worried about those wrinkled lines showing on the face. You don't want that happening. Worried about going grey. Worried about becoming old. Worried about the amount of kilos you might be gaining. And some more serious, worried about the kids' or grandkids' future. What it might mean. Worried about a job interview. Worry about those test results coming back, hoping for the all clear. Worry about the bank repossessing the house. Or worry about the future and being able to afford to live. We can't help but feel worried because we live in a world that perpetuates worry. The world cashes in on our worries and makes it more obvious to us by advertising products like anti-aging cream and hair dye because apparently getting old is unnatural. The world has an offer, a plethora of diets and pills and to help us lose weight and feel younger because apparently that's what it is, that's what people want, to be young again. There are get-rich-quick schemes all over the place promising great wealth with great ease because apparently you'll never be content or happy unless you are really wealthy. There are abundance of private schools that will charge you an arm and a leg and maybe your soul, but guaranteeing you the finest education for your child And all the tutors and extracurricular activities are valuable on offer as well to propel your child into the future of a great head start. There are hundreds of different types of superannuation, all promising the best rates so that you might have the retirement that you deserve. The world knows that we are full of worry about, ironically, pursuing the worry-free life, one with contentment and comfort, satisfaction and fulfillment. And so the world encourages us to dive right in, to pursue it with everything you've got. And the sad reality is, though, the pursuit is futile right from the beginning. No matter how successful you are, how much wealth you amass, how good you look, how healthy you are, how amazing your kids might be, there is always worry in maintaining that lifestyle. We do whatever it takes to keep it, lest it would slip through our fingers. And we become worthless, unsatisfied, unfulfilled. And so really, worry never leaves us. And we might die thinking, was it all worth it? The pursuit of the worry-free life, though, is not pointless. You see, unlike the world who wants us to remain worried about life, Jesus says, do not worry about your life. Jesus has come to break us free from the worldly pattern of worrying about life. He wants you to not worry. Why? Because for those who trust in Jesus, there is no need to worry. Because life is so much more than our existence here on this earth. This morning, I want to show you that the worry-free life can be given to us when we look beyond what the world wants us to pursue and look towards the more satisfying and fulfilling pursuit of heavenly treasure. There are 3 points I want to make from Matthew 6 that show this. The first one is, your life is more than just the here and now. So I'm going to read from verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Do not worry is the clear command of the text in this passage. And Jesus' command to not worry is based on what he has already said about pursuing earthly treasure in verse 19. In other words, pursuing earthly treasure, the things of the here and now, is only going to end up in worry. Pursuing what is temporary and making that your life, making that our life, will only leave us feeling disappointed and worried. But Jesus says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, what you'll wear. Such things are a part of the here and now, and they are not worth worrying about. Why? Well, it says in the second part of the verse, life is more important than food, the body more important than clothes. Now, how can life be more important than food or the body more important than clothes? Life can only be sustained if we are fed, if you eat. And clothes keep the body from freezing or from burning. Without such necessities, life would not exist, we'd perish. So what does Jesus mean? Jesus here is going beyond the here and now. He is saying, yes, your life is sustained by food and your body protected by clothing. But your life and body are not only a part of the here and now. They go beyond that. Jesus is pointing towards our eternal life and eternal body. He doesn't want us to be wrapped up in worrying about food and owning clothes, or even wrapped up in the pleasure of eating nice food or being admired in nice clothes. Because such things are temporary. To worry about food and clothes because of our hunger and nakedness, or out of our desire to eat nice food and to be admired by others, blinds us who follow Jesus. The reality that, as Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God. The world doesn't want us to realize this. It wants us to focus in on the here and now, but your life Our life is worth so much more than just being able to eat nice food, so much more than being admired in nice clothes or being able to live a long, prosperous life. Life is not ultimately about eating and drinking and wearing nice clothes, no matter how good they might feel. There are greater things in this life now that, as believers, Jesus says we get to enjoy. More than pleasure in food and drink is the pleasure in knowing God. More than seeking the admiration of others is seeking the approval of God. More than living a long life on this earth is living with God for eternity. It's not worth to worry about food, drink, clothes, and our life here on this earth, when such things can't provide those greater things that Jesus has provided for us by giving us eternal life and eternal body. The key to the worry-free life is to not lose sight of those greater things. That is what our life is about. Not pursuing the things of the world, but to pursue God. Jesus begins to break us free from the pattern of worldly thinking, freeing us from worry by changing our perspective. We don't live for the here and now. We live in the here and now for God, who is eternal, because we are eternal. So the next thing we see is that we don't need to worry because God does provide your needs. It's going to read from verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Having just informed us that our life is about pursuing eternal treasure, Jesus now gives us two examples to show how God is our supreme provider. The first one is with birds. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Every worm or insect the bird finds to eat, every twig it finds to make its nest, is not provided by the bird's effort alone, but because God chooses to provide. The birds don't feel the need to store up. They do not worry about the future. How much more... They're not worried about the future. They expect that there will always be twigs and insects and worms each day for them. And if God chooses to feed the birds of the air, which are only a part of the here and now, how much more will he feed us, who go beyond the here and now, who are eternal? Jesus says, are you not more valuable? And certainly we are. The birds only have worms and twigs to look forward to. But we are eternal. And we have greater things to look forward to pursue in this life. So will not God feed us so that we are able to pursue these greater things? In the same way, the second example, Jesus says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Ladies, how great would it be if you just woke up every morning beautiful? If you just woke up still beautiful, wouldn't that be incredible? These flowers, they don't work hard, they don't buy product or toil to make themselves beautiful. They just are beautiful. All because God makes it so. And yet verse 30 implies that these lilies are adorned, they're made beautiful, only to be destroyed. As it reads, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, They are used as fuel for the fire. Their beauty only temporary. Since God then adorns what is temporary and ultimately worthless, as Jesus says, will he not much more clothe you, you who is eternal? Make us more beautiful in Christ Jesus. What we learn from these birds and flowers is that they do not worry about their provision. They are both reliant on God and his good and gracious provision. Regardless if they're actively aware of it or not, therefore, we ought not to worry about, but to actively trust God, knowing that he is our supreme provider. Just as the birds by nature trust that there will be worms tomorrow, and the flowers and the lilies trust by nature that they will blossom and become beautiful, we must trust God that he will provide for our needs each day. I imagine some of you struggle to do this. It can be hard to trust God when we are struggling to pay for the mortgage, when you are struggling to pay bills, when you lose your job, when your health is declining rapidly, when your kids or your grandkids are always getting into trouble and their future doesn't look good, when everyone around you is in love, happily married, and you're alone. We can struggle to believe that God will provide for us what we need. We become worried that he will never come through for us, that we won't be able to have the life we desire. Jesus' response to us who worry about these things might seem a little harsh. He says, "You of little faith." That sounds really harsh. This is what he means, though. If we think that our life is all about living for the here and now, if we think God's provision is only so that we can have a nice life, then we have quite a rather small view of God and his provision. A little faith. Little faith is when we think the greatest thing God can provide for us is a nice house, a successful job, a nice family, a holiday overseas, a healthy marriage, a good education, a long life. These things do not even compare to the life God has in store for those who trust him. God will provide what we need. Not so that we can live a life pursuing earthly treasure, temporary things, but so that we can live a life pursuing God. Now that will look different to pursuing the here and now. But let me tell you, God's provision for our needs is for a far greater purpose than anything that is temporary. That is a part of the here and now. His provision for our needs is so that we might pursue heavenly treasure and escape a life full of worry. Which leads to our final point. The worry-free life is found when you seek God, God's kingdom first, and his righteousness first. So I'm going to read from verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Once again, Jesus drives home the main point. Do not worry. Why? Verse 32, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Pagans are those who don't believe in God, who don't follow Jesus. And Jesus says to constantly worry about the things that are temporary, the here and now, is to only look like and act like a non-believer, a pagan. A pagan is someone who has no hope of salvation like us who believe in Christ. A pagan has no assurance of a God who provides like we do. Everything is on them, the ability to be able to eat and drink and provide for themselves, to maintain that lifestyle. And so, of course, they are full of worry, lest they lose that life. So it can seem a little harsh to compare us to pagans, but Jesus is wanting to show us how unnatural it is for someone who follows him to worry. Why? Because of the rest of verse 32. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Not only is God our supreme provider, but he also knows what we need. He understands that we need food and drink. God knows that we need a house to live in. God knows that we need a car to get around. God knows that we need companionship and fellowship. God knows that we need superannuation. God knows that we need insurance. God knows that we need a job that pays for a life in the hills. So if you think the call here is for us to radically uproot our life and go live in poverty, because that's the best way to trust God, then we've got it wrong. No doubt, that might be the call for some of you, that you may go do God's work in that area, but not so you can trust God better. That is not the emphasis of this passage here. The point here is that you must trust God that wherever you are, he will continue to provide for your needs. Now that providence, though, has such a bigger vision than just living a nice life, than just providing needs for need's sake. As we see in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God's desire for us is that we might be able to pursue his kingdom and his righteousness. And so that we can do that, God says, I will take care of the rest of it. I will take care of your worries. I don't want your prayer life to be cluttered up in your needs. I want you to pray for my kingdom and pray for my righteousness. Seek that first. I will take care of the rest. The question is, though, is how? How do we seek God's kingdom? How do we seek God's righteousness? What does that even mean? You know, what's my role? Often we can be willing, but then become quite overwhelmed. We want to make sure that we are doing only what God wants us to do, and we won't do anything else but accept that one thing that God wants us to do. We make it quite hard for ourselves, often ironically, worrying about how God wants us to seek his kingdom, his righteousness. The thing is, Jesus has come to break us free from worry. It's so much simpler than we realize. Do you want to know what God's will is for your life? I can tell you, not because I'm a prophet or special. I'm a 23-year-old who forgets to wash up after dinner. I am a sinner. Just ask my father. He likes to often remind me when people say nice things to me that I don't wash up. I can only tell you God's will for your life, how you can seek his kingdom, his righteousness, because the Bible tells us. So if you've got a Bible there, flip to Colossians 3, and I'm going to read verse 2, and then I'll read from verse 12. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So that's a simplified version of seek God's kingdom first and seek his righteousness. But how do we set our minds on things above? Verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And here's the climax. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. To seek God's kingdom first, to seek God's righteousness first, isn't necessarily to find out your specific purpose in life, but to live as God's chosen people in the likeness of Christ, wherever you are. A chosen people who are full of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. A chosen people who forgive one another. A chosen people who let the peace that Christ won for them between them and God reign in them and shown amongst each other. A chosen people who teach each other, who sing with each other. It's about our great God with thankfulness. And then as chosen people to go out into the world, wherever we are, with whatever we do, declaring the greatness of God, declaring the good news of Jesus as Lord and Savior, so that with everything in our life, it all might be done in the name of our Lord Jesus. To seek first the kingdom of God and first his righteousness is to make our whole life revolve around God. It's when we put God first in our life, we gain access to the worry-free life. So why worry about the things of this life, the here and now? Living a nice home, owning a nice car, having a successful job, having smart, sporty, successful kids. Our life is of so much more value than we would give it if we pursue those things. Let me say that again. Our life is of so much more value than we would give it if we would pursue those things. Is it not better to live in a home that serves the Lord, that is hospitable and loving and welcomes all people just as Christ welcomed us? Is it not better to have a job that allows you to have time with your family, that you might teach them to be more like Christ? Is it not better to have your children or your grandchildren tell you more than, I got into medicine, or I'm going to law school, or I'm playing cricket for Australia, as great as that would be. But for them to tell you, I love Jesus, and I want to serve him all my days. Medicine, law, any sort of worldly job, a sports career, these things are temporary. But Jesus, he is eternal. Wouldn't you want your child to say that to you? God says, if we want the worry-free life, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and I will take care of your worries. I will deal with them so you can get on with it. You can get on with living for me a greater purpose. As Philippians 5:7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Give those worries to God and seek first his kingdom. So therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, don't worry about your life, about what you will drink or what you will eat. Our life is more than a here and now. We are eternal. And God has a greater purpose for this life than just getting by. It is to seek first his righteousness and his kingdom, and knowing that God will take care of the rest. Amen.